Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Juwanza Aminu, the artist also known as Sehu, and I listen to Truth Brothers with Ray, Candace, and Devon. If you're not listening to Truth Brothers, then the truth ain't in you.
Some of it you gon' like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
That's more like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, then the truth ain't in you.
Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. It's time for Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And as we speak, I'm logging into the chat room right now for your questions and comments. Welcome back, everybody.
All right, and everybody knows that sexy voice is the producer supreme, Candace.
Hello.
It came on smooth in the morning.
Smooth over nappy ass hair, boy.
Oh, my man, Juwanza. Shout out to Juwan. He came in smooth as ever.
Yeah, like them drawings.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. If anybody get a chance, check out Juwanza Aminu's drawings.
Oh, they are awesome.
They are very new.
They are awesome. Well, awesome.
Very.
Yeah, but hey.
Not for the cheering.
Better not bring your kids.
So how was everybody's day?
I got an effing ticket today, man.
I don't go through the week no more because we went through like 2 months of just quit
asking.
I
don't want to know about my day. So.
We was all right. Today I got an effing ticket, man. I said it. Man, I just can't. I don't even know. So yeah, they got me a little earlier today for that young speeding, I guess, coming down. Whatever. Jesus take care of
them. All right. I got you. Okay, yeah. Who we hollering at?
Oh, well, there we go. Since we're getting there. First off, we want to holler at everybody over there at the rally for Sarah Cruzan today. They having it right now. Best of luck to her. They're going to have a decision tomorrow on if she'll be released with time served.
Yeah, so. I hope that outcome comes out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, actually, hopefully justice will be served. We got to holler at Jessica Robinson. She's having surgery today, so speedy recovery. Nakia Hall, Maya Hawkins, Barack Obama. That's my Barack Obama sound.
right.
Nah, Nakia Hall and Sade Walton. Yeah, that was it for that. I thought we had more. And for DJ's B-Day, September 12th, Melissa Patrick, September 14th, Sharon Hall, September 15th, Danny Youngers, September 16th, Michelle Bester, Kydria Williams, and Jared Smith. The 17th, which is today, Jamise Webb, Yvonne Baker's over at Hot Topics Top Radio. Happy birthday. And also, today's my dad's birthday. So, shout out to my dad. Happy birthday, Pops. Doing it big. Thanks for paying for that ticket. Too much, man. And tomorrow will be Nia Johnson's birthday. So, September 18th, happy birthday, Nia Johnson. That's all of our people. And, yeah, there we go.
All right.
Get that out the way.
There you go.
Here is the terrible truth.
This is the terrible truth with your terrible anchors, Ray and Devon.
Greetings and salutations. This is Kent Clark of the Terrible Truth. This portion of the Terrible Truth is brought to you by Bobby Christina's other brother, Lover Rubbers. but when your adopted brother looks too damn good.
And Uncle Ben's hairy back tossed fruit salad. Yeah, at Uncle Ben's, they are bringing hairy back.
Something nasty.
Yeah.
Now, last week, right, if y'all listen to The Terrible Truth, we had a story about a guy who got on the Down syndrome guy got on the plane.
Right.
Check this out. TSA confiscates mentally challenged man's toy. I don't think y'all heard that title, so I'm going to say it again.
Say it again.
TSA confiscates mentally challenged man's toy.
There you go. Take his two toy.
If you're looking for someone to thank for depriving a mentally challenged 29-year-old of his much beloved security blanket, look no further than Linus. They did that to Linus. They took Linus' blanket, man. Okay.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
Okay, here we go.
Is that his toy? Wait.
It gets worse. Members of the Freckless Bunch sprung into action in Detroit Metro Airport when they first laid eyes on Mandy, who's...
Oh, wow.
That's his name.
Mandy.
Dude.
That's his name. Whose parents say has the mental capacity of a 2-year-old. They singled him out for a special pat-down, which makes... I'm sorry, y'all. Okay. Which is a special pat-down for people with special needs. Security personnel sensed that they sniffed out the troublemaker when...
No, man. Come on.
I don't want to do this. Okay. When they asked Drew to place his feet on a yellow shoe line and he failed to comply, his father intervened, explaining that his son didn't understand what they were asking. But the TSA,
TSA, he wasn't buying that. The TSA dude, what? Put your feet on the line? Huh? Oh, you want to give me trouble, huh? Wow.
TSA ordered David Mandy to back off. That's the dad. Explaining, please, sir, we know what we're doing. They proceeded to pat Drew's pants down, questioning the pattern that they found, which was his diaper.
Wow.
Which turned out to be the adult diaper. When the agents asked Drew to take his hand and rub the front and back of his pants so they could swab for explosives.
Are you serious? He's got a stick of dynamite right there.
Okay. I am crying, man. The dad tried again in vain to explain his son suffered severe retardation, but the TSA refused to be derailed from his job. It was then the agent spotted the weapons Drew was attempting to smuggle on the flight, a ball and a 6-inch plastic hammer.
There
My son carries his ball and hammer for security.
Okay.
God,
Molnir.
Junk check.
Molnir. That's what I'm talking about. For all those who don't know what Molnir is the hammer of Thor.
Okay.
And it makes me feel better.
He goes everywhere with him, explaining his father. But the TSA wasn't falling for it. One of them took the hammer and tapped the wall, observing, see, it's hard. It could be used as a weapon.
There it is.
Drew's parents were told they could make arrangements to ship the toy to their destination. Since that would result in them missing their flight, however, David Manny reluctantly tossed the toy instead, remarking, It just killed me to have to throw it away because he carried it like it was his for 20 years.
Wow.
Okay.
See the teeth marks on the handle.
I'm done. I can't do no more of this story, man. I'm good. All right, that's it. Oh, God. Whew. Did we forget to mention that in our second hour, we will have teacher Jenny Andrews joining us for our second hour conversation and the teacher strike.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be important. So anybody out there who got something to say about the teacher strike here in Chicago, feel free to call in.
Yeah, but
but in the meantime, Linus.
Yeah. Calls. Oh, God, dude, I am crying over here. That's not funny, man.
It's not, but.
What? Damn. He just.
We got this, sir. Back off. What's this? What is this, a hammer? What are you going to try to do? Take the plane?
Big foot, little foot. Put your feet up on the yellow line. We need to make sure you're safe. Stop all that wiggling. Don't want to hear your moan. It don't hurt. We ain't doing nothing to you.
It's just a wand.
What's this? See this? And you got the nerve to have a full diaper. Your neck.
That's.
Yep.
That's wrong.
Yep.
You're going.
I'm sorry, man.
You're going.
Just, I felt bad when I first saw. I was going there, but I'm gonna stop, man. I felt bad when
God.
I was
reading it. But PSA, come on, apply a little common sense.
They don't know.
A little common sense.
They didn't know
sense.
If that dude was playing retarded.
But did they let him keep the ball?
I don't know.
They took the hammer, but let him kept the ball.
Yep. I don't know. But then. I don't know because I'm going to say something I'm going to end up regretting later. So, nah.
Yep.
Ooh. Okay. Yep. Come on.
Mandy Thor is what they call him.
That boy's name was Mandy. Handy Mandy is why he kept his hammer with him. He. What?
Looking for loose nails.
Wow. Sir. I'm going to need you to stop hitting people in the head with the hammer.
Nails.
That's so wrong. I bet it had Legos. It was made out of Legos and all that, man. Not even Legos, because them too sharp on the edges. Building blocks.
Oh.
Them smooth on the edges. Can't cut yourself with those. You can.
You know what? We're gonna take a break and catch our breath from that one. And we'll be back after this. Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio.
Brothers Radio.
Leon St. James for Anaconda Malt Liquor.
With a delectable combination of the finest barley and hops, it's the only malt liquor that carries the seal of excellence from Uncle Sam himself. And when you pop the top, the panties drop.
Is that Anaconda Malt Liquor? The only malt liquor to be approved by the United States government?
That's right. Anaconda malt liquor.
Anaconda malt liquor.
Anaconda malt liquor. Brewed in Piedmont, Georgia.
Truth Brothers Radio.
There's a fire starting in my heart. You keep my fever, this is bringing me out the door.
Truth Brothers Radio, we're back. I'm just saying. Didn't feel like it. But nah, in case you guys catch that last story, we got to say it ended on a good note. In case you were feeling bad for Drew losing his hammer, The story has a happy footnote. Yay. Drew's mother, having evidently learned long ago how to suffer fools, had a second hammer in her backpack.
The spare hammer.
That one, that's called Stormbreaker.
That's called being prepared. That's a good one.
It passed through at the airport's Eagle Eye security without a hitch. So on a good note.
All right.
Stormbreaker.
At least we got, that's a happy ending. I don't know about this one. Man shoots and kills uncle over argument about whether cut of meat was that they were going to cook were pork chops or pork steaks.
Yep.
Wow.
Just heard about that story. Glad I didn't. Yep. Looks like pork is killing people in other ways.
It's the other white meat. St. Louis.
The showman state.
Just like Compton.
John Cunningham's of Jennings used a shotgun to settle a fight with his uncle over pork steaks early Monday. Police say Cunningham, 43, was charged Monday with first-degree murder and armed criminal action in the death of Leslie Elo, 44.
Elo.
Yep. Elo, who lived in a house on Hiller Place, is the maternal uncle of Cunningham, police say. The shooting stemmed from an argument between Lowell and Cunningham over whether the cut of meat they were planning to cook were pork steaks or pork chops.
Now, here's my question.
Yes.
This is something I take it the internet couldn't solve. They just couldn't Google and
I figured they would have had hey.
How come they just couldn't say, hey, it's going to kill us either way. It's delicious.
That too, but I'm just saying.
Go for it. Finish it up.
Remember, you know what the fight reminded me of?
Kool-Aid.
The Kool-Aid? No, I was actually thinking, Count Chocula. No, Frankenberry.
Yeah,
remember they used to just get in that big.
Me and my brother.
Right.
Oh, I got you. Me and my brother used to think about that one.
Right.
Chocula.
Right.
Yeah. Rice
Cunningham Krispies. Said that they were pork steaks, but Lowell disagreed. After the argument became physical around 1 a.m., the two had to be separated by someone at home.
1 in the morning.
Knuckles.
I'm just
anytime
like,
is a good time for pork.
Plenty Smacks or Golden Crisp. Which one do you want? It's the same. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Cunningham, there you go. Cunningham went to another part of the home, grabbed a shotgun, and shot Lowell, police said. Lowell's later died at Barnes Jewish Hospital, and Cunningham, who was correct about the meat, was taken into custody. So he was right, and he defended it, damn it.
So, to the end.
That's right.
The Jews.
So they were pork chops, not pork steaks. And he had to he watched Food Network every day. He knows.
Hey, that little foodie.
Yeah, but you're not finna shoot nobody over it.
No.
He's passionate.
No.
You're not as passionate about food as he is.
I'm not. Justin said kosher bullets. Right.
There you go.
That's what I was like. The Jews.
Right.
The Jews.
Right.
The Jew hospital let him die. Huh?
Oh, the Jew. Yeah, he didn't die from it. They found out.
They found out he had no insurance. He got no money.
Oh well, that'll learn you. But damn it, he is in a holding cell right now. Talking about, but I was right.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. 818-514-1202.
Asking them famous three questions. Why, no, and don't.
Hebrew Hideaway Justice says.
They are somewhere putting a shotgun up your boy and letting know. You ever seen the Matrix? Yeah. Body fluids are hitting them right now. He's getting spunk.
He is. He getting kosher meat.
I'm the picture of health. Time for me to lap dance.
Oh, I got a good one for y'all.
What you got?
Two men charged with robbery say they were filming a reality show.
Well, there you go.
I like that.
There you go. Hey, officer, this is our new reality show.
The ingenuity at its finest. This happened in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Is there such a place?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
State and state.
That's deep.
Wow.
Police have charged two out-of-state men with robbing two other men in western Pennsylvania by claiming they were recording a video for a reality show called You
OJ
Just Got Robbed. Well, wait a minute.
Hold on, officer. This is our show called You
Just
Got Robbed.
Right.
Come on.
It's going to be on MTV.
BET.
BET.
There you go. Right after the game, and let's stay together.
Police in Indiana, Pennsylvania tell the Associated Press that the incident happened about 1:20 a.m. Sunday and that the suspects apparently attend a nearby technical school. They're identified as 21-year-old Randall Smith of Temple Hills, Maryland, and 18-year-old Artie Goodwine of Memphis, Tennessee.
I was about to say,
police say,
oh, yes.
They knock us.
I bet you.
I'm sure.
Okay.
Police say one of the men put the victims into headlocks while the other recorded the robbery.
He robbed him with a head. Who was he, the Gooch?
In which $20 was taken from one of the victims.
There you go. Give me that 20.
Just
now look at the camera and say it. I just got robbed.
Now kiss your girl.
Online court records don't list the attorneys for the men. Smith is posted bail, but Goodwin remained in Indiana County Jail on Monday, about 45 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. That's deep. That's deep.
So, my man.
Hey, no, you got this wrong.
Hold on, officer.
We're filming.
This was
on
a show.
On the cell phone.
You
cell
just
phone,
got
Kevin.
Robbed.
See, y'all fail to realize the funniness behind this guy. Hey, if Honey Child Baby Boo Boo got a show.
You know what I'm saying?
What's
her name?
Honey Child Baby Boo Boo.
Have you seen the previews of that?
No, but the soup rips it all the
time.
Oh,
dude, you could just I've seen the my God.
Yeah, I saw the commercial for that.
My mama said Viggle Jaggle is not beautimous.
Dude,
she got her own vocabulary for the
she's retarded
for the people.
But I guess I think we got a caller coming.
Yeah, we got a caller. 612, you're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your name?
Oh, Lord, I'm sorry.
Hey, 612.
You bastard.
All right, you just got wrong. All right.
So
you just got robbed.
But no, like that's what's crazy. Like
that's awesome.
I was sitting back, man, and I was watching that show with the lady with the human
Stupid
thumb.
Justice.
Because she looks like a human thumb. That's what
the mama. Yes.
And
yes,
the mama
has the top of her head and then there's her shoulder.
And then she looks
like the juggernaut.
Yeah. It looked like she's like her face looked like she's trying to see on an eye chart and she's not so good with the sight.
Right.
Like,
right.
She's just looking at a faraway child. I swear that's
like
a three.
Juggernaut.
Yeah, she ooh.
Just shoulders
and neck.
And right. No, just shoulders and
dude, and the daughter is all of calories. Like all she is calories.
Right.
Cholesterol built calories. Waving her arm, eating birthday cake.
It is.
Save me some of that possum, girl. I'm eating. Whatever. I'm tired, people.
Yeah, I actually saw her on what's that guy? Dr. Drew's Life Changer.
Yeah.
That's where I first saw her.
Chick?
Yes. With the little girl. That's
the mama.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
This is before the reality show.
Okay.
Because the baby's name, ain't it Honey Child Baby Boo
Boo? Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, Honey Baby Boo Boo.
Yeah, whatever. Right.
Oh, go ahead.
But it's bogus.
It's trailer language for molested.
That is.
Yeah, whatever.
That is wrong,
yeah,
man.
Cue it. Cue the apology.
You went around swinging. Hey, I'm going to eat possum. Yeah, roadkill tastes better after the tires are off it.
We here at the Truth Brothers do apologize for the inappropriate comments that were. But damn it. Sorry.
Yes,
I'm not
sir.
Apologizing
for trailer
track.
Trailer track.
He's got an
ignorant.
That is, hey. Did you see that? You ain't seen the commercial. One of the older daughters was sitting there saying, "We're not rednecks. We have our teeth."
That's bogus.
Oh, that was okay. Well, don't blame me. Blame TLC because that was the commercial.
No, they got another
one
coming out.
No, I'm gonna tell you this: when they were on Dr. Drew's Life Changes, they had a camera crew go through their house. So the little girl taking them camera crew through a tour. And mama's got this basement or storage room with all the stuff. It looks like an actual grocery store, right? She's got like all of her laundry detergent lined up, all paper towels and tissue and everything lined up.
Right.
Little baby bust her out. Like, this is all the stuff my mommy gets from the church, and she brings it home. So
there you
whatever
go.
We need,
there it is.
Whatever we need,
the
we
food,
eat.
Nothing like the food drive
to keep you full.
We got a six-figure salary from TLC.
Up like you were in CVS or something.
TLC just handed out
go.
The show.
Yes, we got a six-figure salary from TLC, but we like to go to the food bank. Takes us humble.
God, you're robbing the homeless to feel yourself.
No.
You know what? I was watching one episode, not going to lie. The mama said that they was making lemonade, and the mama just was putting sugar in. She was like,
that
is sugar
right.
goes good on everything. If
that
you want
is.
Something right, put sugar on it.
There's this stuff called go-go juice, and this was the reason why they were on the show in the first place. Go-go juice. This is what they give kids.
Okay. Yeah.
This is like
what is go-go? Before
I'm getting there. Yeah. Hush.
Okay.
Go-Go juice is the equivalent of 5-hour energy for kids, or Red Bull, or something, because when they do pageants and whatnot, you know, they get tired because they're there all day long. You're talking about 12 to 18 hours doing pageant crap. So anyway, Dr. Drew had them on
Ritalin
to interview the mom about giving her this Go-Go juice. This is how this baby got famous in the first place.
I don't know how she explained it. Go-Go juice.
So, you know, dude was like, oh, are you, he was like, well, you mind if I taste it? And she was like, yeah, sure. So the host, he takes a sip of this go-go juice, and he's like, my tongue is feeling numb. And he started getting kind of
queasy.
Yeah, a little sick and nauseated.
A little bath salts in
he
it.
He just thought it was a little, you know, he was like, I don't know if I would give this to a kid. I'm 50-plus years old, and I'm feeling kind of weird.
Right.
And so he asked the little girl, how does it make you feel? And she was like, it gives me lots of energy. And, you know, so she off
this,
the chain.
What is this flavor I'm tasting?
And
oh,
so,
that's Tide. What is it?
That masks the go-go flavor.
What is this magical flavor? Oh, that's Tide
and
with
she
bleach.
She had her little baby do a routine where she's like a little mini cowgirl with her little belly out, you know, little midriff.
Yeah, that's what I was like. She's in a pageant, the baby.
Wow.
It looks
yes.
all of cholesterol.
Wow, where is DCFS when you need them?
Somewhere locking up black people kids.
Watching Tyler's and Tierra.
There you go.
Yeah, but they ain't arresting nobody.
Oh, no, they're too busy under there with joysticks.
Yep.
Check this out real quick, man. Woman allegedly beats ex-boyfriend with his prosthetic leg.
Well, there you go.
What
talking about beat
that?
The brakes off somebody.
I'll beat you to your knee.
What movie was that? That was on a movie, wasn't it?
It was?
Yeah, I don't know what movie that is.
It was.
Oh, well, we're going to be, of course, all of the stories we do now, we'll be in a Terrible Truth group on Facebook. So if you guys think we're playing,
just
know.
Said the Gip smash.
some sweet music.
Not pimp. Gimp. Oh, I love it. Just
a 23-year-old Florida man is accused of beating her ex. Florida woman is accused of beating her ex-boyfriend with his own prosthetic leg in a child custody dispute over their 2-year-old son.
I'm gonna ass with your foot.
Yep. Jaden Fire Mary Hatfield was arrested. On multiple felony charges in connection to the alleged August 27 attack in Baker, Florida. The victim, 25-year-old Brandon Fleming, says that he and Hatfield agreed to joint custody of their son since their relationship ended in February, and that the boy would switch homes every 2 weeks. But on August 27, Fleming said that that agreement went sour. He alleges that Hatfield sent him a text message stating that she would pick him 6 feet under. She would put him 6 feet under. I'm sorry, that was me, people. She would put him 6 feet under, and that she was tired of him. Around 11 o'clock p.m. that night, Hatfield allegedly arrived at Fleming's home, demanding their child. He refused and called the sheriff's department. I'm sorry. Get choked up. Fleming says Hatfield then took the child out of the bedroom window and went in, and he went in outside to get the boy out of the backseat of the car. Two men grabbed
him. She went in the bedroom window?
She went outside, opened his bedroom window and pulled him out. Two men grabbed the dude and began fighting with him. Fleming told the deputy that during the physical altercation, Hatfield came up from behind them, pulled off his prosthetic leg, and began striking them with it.
That's wrong, because she was probably surprised he was holding his own with the two dudes on the bad leg.
But we got to take a real quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll finish this story up. Brothers Radio.
Want to get away?
There you go.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately. And with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Tequila!
Truth Brothers Radio.
I'm the alpha with no omega, beginning with alpha and so plaza. I'm a sino extended version. Next episode will be smooth as a Persian. Rhymes everlasting, there'll be no part two. Knowledge is infinite. Once I start to draw a better picture for your third eye. If you're blind, you know what a mic. I'm a black Michelangelo. Of the brother who ideas are colorful. Giving them insight, but giving them trouble to comprehend. Because the doors won't blend in. They're pretending while I'm extending.
Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back.
On the wheels of steel.
Candace gets it in.
Giggity.
Oh, but yeah, we're going to leave that alone.
No. Yeah, we got to finish that. I'm just mad. The man was holding his own against two dudes with a prosthetic leg, and she got to tip the scales by coming behind him.
Literally. But
get his leg.
No, you know what I was thinking of? It finally clicked to me. Jesus and the 79 Granada.
Oh, yes.
That's why.
That's
what made me think of that.
Yes. That's the Coup. People are familiar with the rap group The Coup out of Frisco, and they had a song called Me and Jesus in the 79 Granada, and it was about a dude and his father who was a pimp named Jesus, and he had a prosthetic arm. And he killed the dude's mama with the arm.
It's bogus. It's real bogus.
Oh, it's a great song, though. It's an awesome song.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, go ahead, man.
You might want to elaborate. Yeah, there was Hoppy, a moral at some
right.
point in the
Hoppy
song.
Was...
Now, to catch people up, a woman beat her ex-boyfriend with a prosthetic leg. She was over custody of their son. They had joint custody. Came back. It was the father's week. She said, I'm coming to get my son. He said, no, you're not. She went and got the boy out the window. She pulled off his leg after he got into it with two dudes, started beating him with it. Now, to catch up.
Now, how bad did she beat him with it? Hit him in the head?
Here we go.
Did she break his leg?
He says, Hatfield then reached into the front car, pulled out a 12-gauge shotgun, and pointed at him, saying she'd kill him if he didn't leave her with the child. Hatfield, the child, and the two men then drove off. The deputy said,
laughing.
Yep, ha ha. Limp. Call you nubby. Or Mandy. The deputy says
Damn.
Fleming had injuries consistent with his statement. He also found a sheet being used as a curtain as the bedroom window hanging partially outside. Hatfield was arrested on warrants. The specific charges against Hatfield are aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without the intent to kill, domestic violence battery, interfering with custody of a minor, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon.
Wow.
Gotta say them stories.
Wow.
No words.
All I can say is, you know, men can't win. When you're a good father, you get your leg ripped off and beat with it.
It's called the Toby beat.
When you, wow.
Well, you're on the outside looking in, too,
just
now.
Cook pork chops.
There you go.
Wow.
I wonder why he lost the leg. Probably that first time he came over there.
Probably. The problem, I've come from a kid.
I came from a kid. Without that good leg to stand on.
Well, yep, man. He said, I'm not giving. No, the law says I'm entitled to my son, and I'm going to stand on my right.
Nice.
She pulled out that shotgun and blew that right one
off. Dude. Yeah, she. Look, I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to stand in this spot until you give me my kid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And then blew it.
And then next thing, I hit it.
Well, there you go. And there, and the world goes at peace.
There you go. And nothing.
Somebody mopped the floor without the
wet
floor.
It was a dud.
Right. He looks like a dude. You ever seen that dude on the wet floor sign?
Yeah.
And his leg is in the air. But that one is missing.
That dude has the worst luck, man. Every job he gets messed up.
Only time he gets across is he's on the cover of men bathrooms.
That's the only time he gets peace. Anything else, wet floor, caution, electricity, he can't work.
Oh,
I used to work a trencher, and they had a picture of him getting ate up in the trencher, man. I'm like, dude can't do nothing. Second, hey.
When he's walking across the street with his woman. That's the only time he's at peace.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God, that is funny.
What you got, man? We got another story.
All
again,
right.
Real quick, people, second hour we will have CPS teacher Jenny Andrews joining us to talk about the teacher strike.
There you go.
But right now, tell the truth.
818-514-1202. Car wash offered regular customers free sex.
Well, all right.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Police in Malaysia have clamped down on a promotion in which car wash customers were offered free sex after their ninth visit. In an unusual reward program.
With the woman, right?
Well, if that's what you like.
That's
what I like. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, the unusual reward program was born out of a partnership between a car wash and a massage parlor. The police said the officers discovered the hookup when they raided the massage parlor and found several customers had reward cards for the car wash.
Yes, sir.
So if you get 9 massages, you get a car wash. If you get 9 car washes, there you go.
Happy ending.
In order to get the extra offer, customers had to send their cards for washing 9 times within a certain period. Love you long time. And your car is clean. So the 10th car wash entitled them to free sex. 4 men were suspected in running the massage parlor, and 9 Vietnamese women believed to be prostitutes were arrested. There you go.
I'm all for customer service. And that just to me seems like pretty good customer service.
That's what it seemed like.
I'm just, hey, I'm not totally disagreeing with it. I'm not saying it's all the way wrong.
That's what you're saying.
But hey, if I just got to come in there every day with a dirty car, then hey,
Drea Coleman say, where the hell do we find these stories? This is our job. This is the Terrible Truth. Our staff is working 24/7
every day,
bringing you the worst stories imaginable.
Yeah, I'm just saying, me
and
personally,
it's not hard to do.
It's really not. You just all you got to type in is U.S.
We can't make this shit up.
All you got to do is type in American government, and then all this pops up. Like, it's just real.
Oh.
Good times.
There you go. So is that the motivation you need to keep your car clean?
I'm going to be honest.
That's so nice.
Man.
If they did that in the States, the way brothers keep that.
I'd be mad as hell.
You know how many pregnant car wash attendants
I'm going to go wash my car. It's raining.
Well, don't worry. Why are you in my business? Sometimes I got to get my car clean, woman. It's time. Now I'll be back. I'm going over to the Soap Cat. Soapy Cat. There you go.
More like
I want to call the Soapy Cat.
More like the Itchy Kitty.
Yeah. God. Just, hey,
itchy
you always,
scratch.
You are always watching that rusted Nova.
Look, woman, I'm just trying to be a better man and keep my stuff clean. Why must you criticize me with everything?
You got $20.
Wait. No, that's
tragic.
Hold on. Yeah, that's a nice watch. I don't need your money. I'll be back. going to get my knobs polished
on the car, baby. The car.
Yeah.
Type of man you think I am.
Anyway.
Okay, what you got?
All right. Teen hospitalized with dehydration after 4-day Xbox marathon. Now,
I'm just retarded.
I'm going to say it.
That's just retarded.
I'm going to say it like I feel it. That's ridiculous. Who lets their kids sit up and play Xbox for 4 days straight?
It was a holiday.
That's 120 hours.
It was a
holiday.
Well,
no, it's not. It's what, 96 hours? Whatever.
Mom wanted some peace. See, he got down there. He had his chips. He had his Sunny D.
Shut up. I don't even want to hear.
Anyway, Pizza rolls. I'm ready.
An Ohio woman has confiscated the Xbox of her 15-year-old son, who was hospitalized for dehydration after spending
at least
4 days in his bedroom playing Modern Warfare 3 video game.
Yep, MW3. Damn, Jesse, bro, it's a pause button on that. I'm sorry, kid.
I got a bucket and a bottle.
Jesse Rollins tells the NBC affiliate in Columbus that her son, Tyler Rigsby, emerged from his bedroom Tuesday morning after a marathon round of game playing and collapsed 3 times.
Mom.
You remember the Nintendo thumb syndrome back in the...
Yep. Overrunning my checkpoint. Water, closer. Mama, closer. Don't let them take the checkpoint.
Like the death scene of Mr. Hank.
All right.
South Park heads out there. Anyway, okay, I'm going to reread this paragraph because you all are ignorant. Jesse Rollins tells the NBC affiliate in Columbus that her son, Tyler Rigsby, emerged from his bedroom Tuesday morning after a marathon round of game playing and collapsed 3 times. She said he became very pale and his lips turned blue.
God,
I was very
just
scared.
Cut off the oxygen.
I thought he was going to die, she tells WCMH television. He just fell over 3 times. The TV station quotes an emergency physician at a children's hospital saying dehydration can lead to a decreased blood pressure and a lack of adequate oxygen to the brain. Rollins, who Tyler said had only left his bedroom to use the bathroom, picked up snacks and take a quick shower and said both learned a lesson the hard way.
Quickly.
She says that Tyler was shaken by the ordeal and didn't complain about his punishment. The Xbox is gone.
What?
And all
I
is right.
Off
right.
The alien.
All is right in the world.
I have very, very, very views about thee.
You didn't think about your child being locked up in their room for 5 days, four
Mom,
days.
Don't talk to me. I'm on
it. He only came out to pee.
If he did that, I'm sure that bed is wet right now. I'm sure he did that.
Let's get this straight.
There you go.
That, my
get out of my room,
baby.
Little girl. I'm 15. Get out. And I'm playing MW3.
You got a phone. You're big enough. You know how to pee.
That's what the bottle is for. You want to guess what the bucket's for?
You also know how
that
to
pee. Dude, don't drink that.
Dude, I told you.
Oh.
I'm serious about my gaming.
That's just ignorant as hell.
That ain't dude. What are you doing?
Oh, well, it's over now.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, dude, Drea.
Whatever, dude. Watch
Drea
my back.
Said,
watch
nah,
my six. Watch my six.
She said, nah, he got bottles all over the room.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, he do.
Pepsi
yes,
pill.
Yes, he do.
Yo, mama,
matter of fact, you know what?
No,
nah, you know what? You said that. I got to put somebody on blast. Back in the day, I used to date this girl.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Her brother was too lazy to want to get up in the room and go use the bathroom at night. So he would just take McDonald's cups and everything and just let them go.
Swear to God, I
let them go.
I swear to God,
let
him
go.
The girl who brother did this.
And they end up finding the bottles and crap all under the bed.
I'd have beat the brakes off of him.
She'd have beat his leg off.
Beat the brakes.
Dude.
I'd have beat him. With the prosthetic leg, he would have needed another prosthetic leg to replace the two he's going to have missing.
Dude.
Tell me. He didn't just say that.
Dude. What happened? No.
Nothing.
I dated a girl who did the same thing. I'm just saying. Who brother did the same thing. And it was. I know. Yeah. Nah. Whatever. And the dude used he did the same thing. Like he would take McDonald's old sweet tea cups.
There you
held
go.
Better. Cause
they held right. If you knock them, they don't.
That ain't all that long ago. Wait, hold on.
Yes.
Da, da,
girl,
da, da, da.
I'm pissing in.
Da, 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 damn. Who does that?
Like
that's
for real.
Nasty.
Like it made. It was like. And then what happened was I'm over there. I'm chilling. Blah blah blah. My man comes up. We cleaning up. And I'm like, damn, how many McDonald's? Do you love sweet tea? You don't even finish them. And, like, it was just filled with piss. And I was like,
I don't know.
And I just left it alone. So, yeah, I couldn't.
I just left. I don't know. Hey,
yeah,
I
got that gagging.
Yeah,
yeah, like, I got to get the fuck out of here. Like.
Wow.
Like the bathroom is out the
is
door.
Is this somebody you used to date?
Yeah. This is the ex.
Damn, how did you ever go back over there? You didn't.
No, I didn't. That ended because she
that
was embarrassed.
That's going to be the end of this relationship.
Yeah, she was embarrassed.
So wait a minute. You had to find out over her house?
I was at her house.
Well, he kicked it over something. Maybe
no,
I don't know.
He invited me in to play some Modern Warfare.
And you smell pee.
No, what happened was I came over to her house. We were, you know, chilling, whatever. And then, you know. She was cleaning up, and I was like, you know, let me help you, you know, clean up and shit. And I was like, damn, girl, you got a lot of sweet teas. I knew she liked sweet teas. I knew she liked sweet tea. I was like, damn, you got to – and why you put them on the side of your bed? That's just nasty.
Wait a minute. They in her room?
Yes.
Wait a minute. How was he pissing in her room?
When she's not there.
Oh, no.
Because the thing
dude
cop to it. That's I thought it was nasty if you're doing
why?
That.
But she had to.
How did you not know these bottles?
No.
Yeah,
no. Dude, one, dude cop to it. And two.
She was pissing in them bottles.
I'm sure.
She
probably.
She was pissing in them bottles.
She probably
too.
Was selling it.
She probably taught him about it.
Let me show you. Hook this little tube up to there.
Just say strange brew.
But wait a minute. What, number one, why are you okay with your brother pissing and cups?
No.
In
see,
your
on the real, the bad part, I believe the only, and I'm trying to be fair here, I believe she didn't know because the way it was, the way her bed was set up, it was to the side and behind it. And
really?
I knew that the way the look on her face was, this mother.
No.
And
she
then
not the look
like
on her
caught.
Face was, right, I'm
nah,
caught and this
nah,
dude is in
nah,
my room.
No.
He was finna have
you.
She was finna have you.
If you knew, if you're cleaning up your crib and I asked to help, You wouldn't say, no, 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 that's cool if I'm had if I know the pee is in my joint.
Okay.
No, they
okay.
Were testing you out.
Fuck
they
that.
Were testing you
oh,
out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. No. You're not pissing in my room.
No, see, that's what I'm the dude. If
no,
you knew the brother.
I'd have beat the brother
right.
Off of him.
Drea said, wait, she couldn't smell
that's
it.
That's what I was
that's
getting
how, that's
at.
How you know she was letting some.
But you know what?
You know what?
The whole house had like a little.
Oh,
that's what
my aunt just showed up.
Plane.
Here,
yeah.
Let me just.
But now here's my thing. Oh, you, that is just nasty.
Whatever.
What is wrong with
pull
you?
Him to the side.
Whatever.
Just gonna pull my pants
there you
down
go.
Just a little bit.
Right, that is just nasty.
Yeah.
Pull him
okay.
To the side just a little bit.
Tell me. He didn't just say that.
Waiting for signs or some shit. I mean,
I don't know.
Was
like,
the aliens coming and the piss?
I don't
was
know.
Going,
I don't know if
aliens?
The piss was marinade. I don't know what
she was
looking for.
She,
was,
water all
she left a little
kept,
bit of a little bit of
the paranormal
in there with the lemon in there because the lemon was supposed to cut
but see,
down.
That's my thing. She loved sweet tea so much. You know, you gotta
but,
know.
No, here's the crazy part about it now.
How many cups was it?
That's my point.
15.
She had like a cup, like. She would never throw those cups away. Now,
no,
not that she knew.
Because she believed in recycling. No.
And it's just the type of person.
How old was her brother?
He was
20.
No. He was 13.
That's worse.
13.
I don't understand that. Okay, for a minute, I was thinking, I said, okay, maybe
away.
He's selling his
she's the younger. He's the younger brother. She's older. No, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Well,
we got a new
okay.
sponsor, McDonald's
I swear,
Pissed Up.
I'm glad I don't know him, but I'm trying to wrap my head around some type of logic.
There is no logic.
There is no logic. It's knuckles.
Pissing.
Only knuckles.
And
Honey Boo Boo
Child. And he had
child.
His own room or they shared a room?
No, he had his own room, but his room was next to hers. But the TV,
but you'll walk your,
the TV
you'll walk your
was not in his room. The TV
in
was
house.
In her room.
Yeah, whatever.
And he wanted to.
That's the excuse.
Woo! Oh, man.
Yep.
Thor's on.
Yeah,
I'm not going to the bathroom.
They sitting there watching The Real World
so
together.
You got
sharing
the McDonald's cup just stacked up
yep.
in the room.
Case,
so you
in case
reach
you need
out.
To.
So you'll get up to go get the cup to pee in it and say, get up go, to go to the bathroom.
Dude, I'm going to gag
oh,
again.
Whatever.
So.
I don't even want to
yeah.
talk about that no more. That's
nasty.
Fine.
So
just
we got
nasty.
A real quick story we're going to take to. This story is actually presented
yep.
to me by somebody.
Did you hit it?
What?
Did you crush it?
The girl? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Even with all of that? Not before.
Really?
Before I knew.
Saturated.
Why you ask? I'm like, you asked me. I'm not a liar. So, I mean, hey. You
I'm
asked
just a believer.
I'm weak.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I'm playing.
They had rehabs for that, though.
So,
no,
yeah, I need that Tiger Woods.
Yeah,
but anyway.
You finish, she was like, oh, you ain't got to go to bathroom. Yeah.
Gave you a cup.
Yeah,
I know you like
that's
Mountain Dew and all. So
don't leave. We in the afterglow. Don't leave. Use this cup.
Yeah, I do it here. I like the sound when it hits the plastic. No, okay. This story was actually passed to me by one of our listeners. Drea Coleman had suggested this story. It's about a guy, Terry Williams, sentenced to execution for killing two men who sexually abused him as a child. Terrence Williams of Pennsylvania had been sentenced to death after killing two men when he was 17 and 18 years old. What the jury did not know, however, was that Williams had been brutally raped as a child by two men he had killed. Williams and another teen killed one man just a few months after Williams had turned 18, according to Change.org. He also admitted that he killed another man 5 months earlier. The man who was a church leader and another was a sports booster. The men used their positions to gain access to little boys. Sounds like Penn State to me.
All right.
Williams was allegedly sexually abused for years by these men, but he was also abused by other individuals throughout his life. His mother had abused him frequently, and his father was absent from the home. His first experience with sexual assault was when he was just 6 years old.
Wow.
And the abuse continued steadily for the next 12 years of his life. He did not receive treatment or help from anyone for the duration of his suffering. How do you know these abuse accusations are true and not just William making a calculated attempt to save his life? According to The Nation, it was not until this past winter that another witness would come forward, a former pastor named Charles Poindexter, who knew Norwood for 30 years. He admitted having known that he had sexually abused teen boys. Amos seemed to have lots of close relationship with young men. He stated that in the affidavit signed this February, saying that he began to suspect that he were that they were in were inappropriate in nature. The few years before Amos's death, the mother of the 15-year-old boy, told him that he had touched her son's genitalia during a car ride. Amos had inappropriately touched a number of boys at the church. Poindexter kept knowing it himself. This story gets crazier. It's sad. I don't want to really finish the rest of this out. It's really, really sad. And the crux of this is that the dude is sentenced to death for killing the man who sexually assaulted and raped this boy. And
wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He found later on in life he wound up killing him. So I forgot that they had a I don't know if they had the nah, his death is scheduled for October 3rd, and it was signed by the governor Colbert last week, and Colbert is a Catholic Republican. So,
all right.
Yeah. Terrible.
Terrible.
Truth. So, but like we said, we got a special guest to be coming in real soon, chiming in for the show on the 8 o'clock hour. We have Jenny Andrews coming to talk to us about the teacher strike. Hopefully you guys have some questions. We have a few of our own, and hopefully she'll be able to answer them when she actually logs in to the blog talk.
Yeah, she just chimed in.
Okay.
So she's here.
All
right. We'll be getting into that in the second hour. Real quick, how do y'all feel about the teacher strike?
Honestly,
long time coming.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Honestly, I'm for it. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm for the teacher strike. I have a lot of people who are against it for a myriad of reasons, but we'll see. I'm gonna ask the teacher and see how she feels about that. And
everybody, please 818-514-1202 chime in and give your input. This we're gonna be talking about the strike, but we're gonna be talking about all the causes and symptoms that caused this to happen. A Chicago teachers haven't went on strike in 25 years, and they have endured a lot. Now, if you feel like they have that they're wrong for going on strike, definitely call in and give your piece. I mean, that's how we gain understanding, by the exchange of ideas.
Mm-hmm. And let's be fair. Let's listen. Let's understand. And go on both sides.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, just people.
These true brothers listening. They gonna
people will listen and be like, hey, well, she's wrong, and whatever. So, because I got a lot of people that say they are wrong. Well, we'll get into that. Yeah,
we got lots to cover, and we gonna.
Start throwing that number out there right now, 818-514-1202. Prep your comments, your questions. Bring them to the table during the second hour.
There you go, because we're going to jump into it in the second hour. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio. What's up, everybody? This is Devon from Truth Brothers Radio. Thanking you guys for making the show the success it is today. Without you, there is no truth. We are expanding our network daily, so be sure to catch up with all the latest Truth Brothers info, show topics, and questions at our Facebook page, Twitter, MySpace, iTunes, or by subscribing to our YouTube channel. There, you can also leave your comments and show ideas. Once again, thank you for supporting our truth. Keep thinking.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
All right, we got the chat room. Oh, it's cracking in here.
Yeah, it is.
For your questions and comments.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and second hour topic is going to be Chicago teacher strike. Yeah, the Chicago teachers have went on strike, and it's been going on for this is about a week now, right?
Yeah.
And there's a alleged tentative deal on the table, but the teachers want to look it over and give it the one eye, and the mayor ain't too happy about that, so he's going to court to try to force them to go back to work, saying we done gave you a deal. Sign it and get your butts back to work.
And also stating that that contract is, they saying that the strike is illegal. That's what he said. But real quick, we got to introduce the guest that we coming in right now. She's been a teacher for over 5 years. She also now is a college career counselor at Lynn Bloom Math and Science Academy. I want you guys to give it up. Give a True Brothers welcome to Miss Jenny Andrews. You there? You good?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
How you feeling?
I first want to say thank you so much for just having me on your show. I definitely consider it an honor to be asked to be a part of this. So thank you guys so much for allowing me to come on here today.
The honor is all ours. Right. That's right. I mean, this Truth Brothers Radio is a show for the people. So when we have these topics, we don't just try to get experts, we try to get people that are close to the situation and can't get no closer than somebody who's actually on strike.
There you go. So real quick, I know you were down there protesting the other day. What was the spirit like down there? How was everybody's spirits?
I will say everyone was in great spirit, and there was a moment actually on Saturday at the rally at Union Park where you can just feel the camaraderie and everyone was just together. And it took me back to the civil rights movement and when you're actually marching for a cause. And I think I truly feel that, you know, that someone marched for my rights in the 60s, so it's my turn to march for someone else's. And we're all in it together, and I think that's my biggest takeaway from the march. You have parents out there marching, students out there marching, you know, teachers out there marching, principals who are not technically not even a part of the union, but out there marching saying, I support my teachers.
Right.
You know, so, and there are a lot of people inside of the school who, if you're an administrator or if you're like a custodial worker or like other people, you may not necessarily be a part of the teacher union, but you're out there saying, I support my teachers. You know, and for me, I was raised by a Chicago teacher in a sense. Like, I spent most of my time, when school was over, I was still in school. You know, and so I went to Chicago Public School my entire life. I received a great education.
Yeah.
And so I truly believe in Chicago Public School teachers, you know, because if you're not at home, you were at school as a kid. You know, and so my teachers was like my second mother. And so the strike was needed for a long time. You know, like you said, it's been a long time coming.
Now, let me ask you this question. In comparison to the teachers, I'm not quite sure how old you are, but I'm in my early 30s. So I think, you know, my generation on back had good, solid teachers, good teachers. You know, who were well experienced, had kids of their own and whatnot. looking at teachers today, I mean, how do you think they factor into this particular strike? Because from what I'm seeing, you know, teachers are getting younger and younger and younger, and I'm not sure if this has something to do with budgets, with school districts and whatnot. But just what's your take on that?
And I guess I look at it as a two-sided coin. On one hand, teachers are getting younger. I mean, we can see it. It's a great thing because you have people who are saying, I'm committed at a young age to teaching.
Yes.
However, sometimes it can boil down to pay. And so the more experience you have as a teacher, almost like the less qualified you are, the more expensive you are, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a principal can hire a first-year teacher, and it is not $76,000, but I hope we get to that. So a principal can hire a teacher for probably like a fraction, a first-year teacher for a fraction of the cost that it would take a 10-year teacher or a teacher who's been teaching for 10 years. And so when I was in school, I knew who my fifth-grade teacher was going to be when I was only in first grade. And so you don't see a lot of that anymore, you know, because you do see a younger generation coming in and leaving, like it's a revolving door.
Yeah.
But then I kind of also think about that, too. Why are they leaving, you know? And it's like they're overworked and underpaid, you know?
Yeah.
And so because we're a generation, and you know, I consider myself still in the young generation, I hope. You know, but because we're a generation who sometimes look at the money, and it's like, wait a minute, you know, I can have one profession and do that profession for a fraction of the, or for twice as much as what a teacher is getting paid, you know, with the less pay. Because when you come to teaching, everyone got their hand in the cookie, Jonathan. You know, you deal with the students, you deal with the parents, you deal with the local school counselor, you deal with the administrator, you deal with the board. You know,
yeah.
So you have so many people who have an input in your job that you say, why do it when I can go somewhere else?
Right. Yeah, when you think about what's going on with a lot of these older teachers or more experienced teachers and why it seems like they're being driven out of teaching,
mm-hmm.
a lot of that goes back to the school boards and mainly the budget. Like she was saying, the older teachers, the more experienced teachers, the tenured teachers have to be compensated for their time and experience. And if I know, if you want a school, with a nice balance of older experienced teachers and younger teachers, so the younger teachers can learn and be schooled by
older teachers.
You don't want you don't want a school full of all young teachers because who are they gonna learn from? Where are they getting their experience from?
Right.
And sometimes I'm going to use my district as an example, that I've seen especially young white teachers, and I'm not picking out white teachers in particular, but young white teachers, when you've got a classroom full of young black kids, there's a cultural disconnect
you
usually need, not that they can't handle it, but they usually need a more experienced teacher to help them navigate the waters and help them relate and understand to a different, diverse set of kids.
Yes.
And when you're running older teachers out of there, you're losing that valuable experience. And when we're talking about the black community now, then tracking is real. And if you got a young white teacher who can't relate to a young black male, and she doesn't understand why she can't get to him or why he won't do his homework, he's going to be tracked. And next thing you know, he's going to be in the remedial classes and well on his way to dropping out. And that's real.
A question that I wanted to ask her, though, I was going to call you Lucy. My bad. We both know your actual age, you know what I'm saying? We all grew up together or whatever. But being that you are a younger teacher, and I would suggest that first when you started off, you started teaching. What grade did you start teaching off at? I'm curious.
I started fourth grade.
Okay. So it's kind of like when you stepped in the classroom, it's almost like the kids didn't see you as the older, vulgar teacher with glasses that just came off with the
no
right, because you have a really really young look, so it's almost did they almost challenge that? Because I know it's sometimes like they will look at a teacher and say, okay, she's older, it kind of commands respect, versus a younger teacher coming in, we could probably run over her because who are you?
Right.
type of thing? Was it kind of like that?
And I think in every situation, whether young or old, that you're gonna have a student who will try to challenge you. You may have an older teacher who may get challenged, thinking, "Oh, she's old, we can run over her." But I think the part of demanding respect or being respected came with the times of parents respecting teachers. And when a parent respects a teacher, their child gave respect to that teacher. Mm. And so I will say from my experience, when I first got started, I wouldn't say I demanded respect, but I requested respect. And because I respected my students, they respected me. And so I didn't have a lot of trouble at the beginning, you know, with the disrespect level. And then also at times, I will say it is a difference, you know, between maybe a young black teacher and a young white teacher, especially when you're in an urban setting. So some of my students saw me and they decided they could relate to me. Exactly. And so I'm not saying that a white teacher can relate to their students, because they definitely can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen it with some of my friends. But they say, "Hey, I see someone like me, you know. So it's a language I can use that's a little bit different, you know, where they wouldn't test me or try me." But I think as far as being young, like now that I'm in a high school setting, you know, you always had that one student who was senior who like, "All right, let me see if I could test her," you know, because I do look young. But at the same time, I do try to present a genuine front to my students, say, "Hey, I'm only here to help you." And that's what I think students respect, when they realize you truly want to help them. And so that's what we definitely need to make sure we continue to keep in the classroom, is the fact that teachers want to help students. And so that's why when I listen to the media and I think about it, and they saying, you know, teachers are not for students because they're on strike. No, I'm on strike because I am for students. Because I know that when I get into that classroom and close that door, then the fight is over, you know. And so I want to make sure that I give everything I can for my students while I'm at the bargaining table before we sign anything. And so
right.
I think that's what it's really about.
All right. 818-514-1202 is the number. Call in and give a question to Jenny Andrews, school teacher on strike. This is your chance to say what you got to say in the chat room, or give a call and get your piece out there so she can fill some of these questions. I want to ask you a question real quick, and I want to know what your opinion is about for-profit schools.
I mean, I think, you know, and I try to use my words carefully, you know, because you always quote it somehow in the media somewhere. But I think at the end of the day, you shouldn't have to charge for a quality education, period. And so it's not okay. Like, the fact that we live in a society where people have to charge for a better education for their students, they have to pay for it. So what are you saying about the public school? You know, and it's like, are you saying that, well, they're not good enough for my students? And it's unfortunate that in some cases that's true. And so I think that's the big piece of the strike, is that I should be able to go to any school, whether on the south side of Chicago or on the north side of Chicago, and not see a difference. I should see those same resources. Parents shouldn't have to pay for education. It shouldn't be a privilege but a right.
That's right. That's right. You know, this is something that I'd like everybody out there to chime in on, or at least think about. Why does it seem like everything in America nowadays has to be for profit?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Look, there's certain things that just shouldn't be for profit. Profit shouldn't matter. Profit shouldn't be the main outcome in the endeavor that we're embarking on in certain situations. I don't believe a hospital should be for profit. A hospital should be for healing and helping people, not for profit. Hospitals used to didn't be for profit. Schools shouldn't be for profit. If you've got a for-profit school, what is the number one goal at that school? Is it educating the kids, or is it making a profit? You can't serve two masters in that. And how do you turn over a profit in a school? That doesn't make sense, because an education is an investment. It's not something you should be trying to profit on. At the same time, a lot of you out there, your public utilities, you need to think about that. Your public utilities shouldn't be for profit. Your phone, your internet, your electricity, your gas should be provided, and you should have to pay for it. Yeah, pay for it to maintain the infrastructure and to make sure that it's getting upgraded and modernized so you can have the best in the world. But it shouldn't be for profit. Your lights shouldn't be for profit. That's just my opinion.
Ken, about to say something?
I'm just speculating here, trying to address Ray's question, and Ms. Andrews, tell me if I'm even in the ballpark. But you know, certain private schools certain private schools who do charge a very hefty tuition. I'm thinking they get the better teachers. They have, you know, better equipment, better staff, better books, you know, better learning devices. And then when they go on from high school on to college, these schools, this is basically their key to get into these upper schools.
I think still think it depends on the school. You know, because of this strike, our studies have come out in Illinois for sure. And I'm sure Jenny knows this, that blow for blow, private schools and charter schools and these for-profit schools overall do about the same as the public schools. You've got some that do well. You've got some that do well, like Kipp schools do well, and then you've got some public schools that do well, like Walt Disney.
You've got
some public schools that are the cutting edge, that are some cutting edge schools in the country, but it all is a matter of location.
I was gonna say, is it just a matter of just socioeconomics?
A lot of it has to do with that. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that how the school budgets get divvied up. The school budget doesn't get divvied up evenly. The school budget gets divvied up according to people's property taxes. And if you live in a poor community, well, you're going to have a school that doesn't have a lot of resources. If you live in a rich community, then you're going to have a school that has a lot of resources. There's a lot of schools up north in the north side of Chicago or in the north suburbs that have hellified resources. There's some schools that have television stations in their school. They're teaching broadcasting and radio broadcasting in high school. But if the school can afford the resources, and a lot of people look at your property tax bill and see how much of your money goes to education for that school district, and then check out what that school district is spending your money on. A lot of people want to get on these teachers, but to me, they're not asking the question, why is my school going to the state championship in basketball every year, but we're one of the worst schools in the state in reading?
Very good question.
Need to check that out and ask the right questions. I mean, and if you think that some teachers in some of the roughest, toughest schools in Chicago is making $100,000 a year, you're crazy.
Yeah, and that was something that I wanted to get into and ask her about. Like, there's been a lot of quotes and a lot of numbers that's been thrown out there about what teachers make, and I don't see why they're going on strike if they're doing this and they're doing that. And a crazy number that was thrown out to me, I've been thrown four numbers. And, I mean, outside of you, who, you know, I know you, and I got a family member, aunt, who's a teacher. And one crazy number that was thrown to me was $78,000 a year.
That's supposed to be the average
income. At first, that was the average. Now, correct me, Jenny. Am I wrong? Is that the average?
I mean, that's ridiculous. And so, my teachers never drove Escalades, BMWs, Jaguars. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's interesting that they said, "Oh, we're gonna give the medium, which is, you know, $76,000 or $78,000," and it's like, is it possible for a teacher to make that much? Of course it's possible, but let's look at how many years of service I have to give.
Right.
You think about a teacher who's been teaching for 15 years or 20 years or 30 years, but a teacher, first-year teacher, you're not even making close to that. You know, you're lucky if you're at a school that you're making $40,000 a year. you know, but then when you factor in the cost of living and your take-home pay, so it may seem like a lot, even $40,000, but when you really bring it home, $29,000,
right.
You know, that you expected right. to live off that with a family of two or three.
Right.
You know, and so it's amazing the numbers. And I was like, well, if that's the truth, then I'm missing a few paychecks if that's the number we're supposed to be making.
Right.
You know, but I think it's a matter of, because the media is trying to portray that it's all about money. It is not all about money. It's not even a piece of it is about money, you know. And so I think about athletes, if the Bulls or the Lakers decided that we're going on strike for a better contract, we wouldn't even have all of this, you know. And so why is it that teachers are so disrespected in regards to their profession? The fact that we have to be on strike is not okay. You know, and so I think people need to start asking questions like, why are teachers on strike, you know, as a profession? That's ridiculous when every single other profession must go through a teacher first, you know. And so nowadays when you see kids and you say, what do you want to be when you grow up? They like a rapper, a celebrity, an actor or actress, a doctor, even lawyers are still out there. Teachers are like the last choice. Unless your parents or someone you know was a teacher, you're like, oh, my goodness, maybe if all else fail, I can teach.
Right.
Right.
You know, and it's like,
right.
And it's unfortunate that that's the mindset of our society. And so I think it's really more about being respected as a profession. You know, because you have ball players who discuss $1 million into contracts.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about that. I'm watching you play ball. But yet, I'm okay with my kid's teacher being outside on strike.
Yeah,
you know, and
yep.
I'm thinking go back into the classroom.
Point.
Yeah.
There you go. And real quick, the national average. This is the national average of a teacher's salary is $50,000, but that's the national average.
Right. Right. But yeah, it's we got a call coming in real quick, Jenny. So
yeah. 760. You're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your name?
Drea, how y'all doing?
How you doing, Drea?
I'm fine. I have a question. I don't think I heard anybody ask this yet. What exactly are you on strike for? What are the teachers on strike for exactly? What is the issue?
All right. I will definitely say, like, it is a lot of different issues. And so, for example, I believe it was today, or actually Sunday, it was released. A tentative contract that highlighted like health care benefits, the school calendar, what it looked like, the fact that students will have books on the first day of classroom and not the second week of school, the fact that, you know, discussing the annual salary. And so I would say it's about probably like 200 articles that's being discussed. However, one of the reasons why the Chicago Teachers Union decided to stay on strike, because instead of receiving an actual contract or a tentative contract for the delegates to look at, they received just the framework. And so what that pretty means, instead of showing a contract of here's the bold print, here's the fine print, here's the bold print, here's the fine print, they just received all bulleted points. And so we all know that the bold print given and the fine print take it away. And so it's like, how can you expect teachers to sign an agreement when it's incomplete? And so that's one of the biggest things, you know, of the continuation for the strike. With so many things that are left unsaid, or what about sick days? You know, what about maternity leave? I was reading actually an email talking about some of the things that haven't even been mentioned yet, you know, that we think about school closing. You know, what does that mean when you decide to close 100 schools and maybe even turn them to for-profit schools or charter schools? But what does that look like in our contract? And so I think some people are just, you know, so ready for the strike to be over. But what they have to realize is this is a contract for 4 years. You know, it's almost like having a car note. You know, so you want to make sure that not only are you signing something for your well-being, but for the future teachers that will be teaching next year and the year after next. And it's not even really about for air conditions in a building. This shouldn't be stuff we should have to strike over. Mm-hmm. It should be stuff that should be given. The year is 2012. You know, I think of some of the stuff that we that we are asking for. And it's just like, we shouldn't be fighting for this in 2012. Based on the technology we have and the resources we have, this shouldn't be stuff. You know, the fact that we want all schools to start looking alike. You know, one school in the south side should be mirrored to a school in the north side.
Dig that.
And so I do ask everyone, you know, for everyone that's listening, to see the actual contract because it's actually out and it's open to the public. You can go to the CTU website, and that's ctunet.com, and right under their blog section, they have the actual document. It's about 23 pages so far of the things they're proposing.
Okay, one thing that kind of jumped out at me while I was reading a million different articles about it, and I know they all don't encompass the truth.
Right.
What is this about, and please correct me, what is this about the teachers not wanting to be evaluated for performance based on the fact that they're saying the home life of the child and the community they live in, the atmosphere, plays a big part on performance at school? The teachers don't want to be evaluated for that. Are you familiar with that part?
I am familiar with that clause, and I think I always keep in mind I only believe about 15% of the media. But there is not a fact of teachers not want to be evaluated. It's a matter of, and it's not evaluations totally. It's a testing clause. And so they're saying that testing should only count for so much of a teacher's evaluation. A teacher's evaluation should be on teacher practices. It should be on observations, whether formal observations or informal observations of someone coming into the classroom and observing a teacher versus you're based in, for example, if you're based in 50% of my job on a one-day test. And so think about it. We know things can happen during a test. We know that students may get sick during a test. We know that there's other factors besides a one-day test that my job is now on the line. You know, and so it's not about the evaluations. It's about the testing of a clause in that evaluation. And so I know the media is saying that teachers don't want to be evaluated on, but it's not the evaluation. Right. It's the testing piece of it.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, because that kind of, and what about the extending of the school days? I'm hearing that the teachers have a problem with that as well, the extension of school days, and they want to be paid for that extension. Which is what I read. The one, I think it said, and forgive me, I'm not from Chicago. I don't live there, so I'm really in the dark here. I think it said elementary was going to be extended 30 minutes, high school extended 30 minutes, and elementary extended an hour and 10 minutes, something like that, and the teachers want to be paid for that extension. What do you think about that? I mean, do you think 30 minutes extension is, you know, like something that should be on the table?
Yeah, we're going to let her answer. We're going to let her answer that, but we got to take a break first. So we're going to get this break out the way real quick, and then we will pick this back up. So just hold tight. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I hear voices in my head. They count to me. They understand. They talk to me.
Brothers Radio.
If you don't have an iPhone, I'd ask you what's wrong with you, but I already know. You're poor, or a loser, or a person who doesn't care about technology, which means you're either poor or a loser. We didn't even make this commercial to sell you an iPhone. We made it to mock you for being one of the have-nots. We are the Sneetches with stars upon thars, and you are one of the regular Sneetches. If you don't have an iPhone, honestly, good. In your face. If you don't have an iPhone, frankly, go fuck yourself.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Smoke on the mic like smoking Joe Frazier, the Hellraiser.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. We're back, everybody. We're back with teacher, Miss Jenny Andrews. You still there holding in with us?
I'm still here. Thank you guys for having me on the line.
All right.
No problem. And the last question that was brought to you was about the longer school days.
Right.
And we wanted to, and the teachers getting paid for that. And if you want to give a rebuttal to that, you can.
And so I guess it's not necessarily even a rebuttal, but just enlightenment. And so I think what it is, and so teachers have already even agreed to a longer school day. And so I believe it's high school students go like 7.5 hours. Elementary school go, I believe, is 7 hours or 7 hours and 15 minutes. I'm not 100% sure of the logistic of each of the different grade levels.
Right.
But I think it's a matter of who wants to show up to work and not be compensated for it. And if you really look at a job of a teacher, when I first started teaching, I probably got to school at 6 a.m. and I left at 6 p.m. And that was just doing stuff in my classroom. Now, I may only got paid from, let's say, 8 to 4. And so the time I put in before work or after work, you don't get paid for that.
Right.
And so teachers work so many hours already with no extra pay. If you think about the report card comments you have to give, grading papers, grading tests, you know, meeting with parents, calling parents. These are things we are just doing, but no one is paying you for these things. And so we realize that it's part of our job. You know, you do have to go above and beyond because at the end of the day, it's for the student. But when you say, hey, I need you guys to stay longer. So instead of getting out at 3 o'clock, I need you to get out at 4 o'clock, which means that if you have a kid at home, I need you to hold off on being that child's parent, you know. And so now you're asking me to jeopardize my own family and stay at work and not receive pay for it or any compensation for it. And so I think that's where the problem came in, because I can't imagine any other profession where you would ask them to stay later and not get paid for it.
Oh, I
see. You know, and so, you know. And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, but it's just a matter of because we do so much, you
That's
know,
right.
not every job have to take their job home. And I feel like that when I'm a teacher, I'm on 24 hours.
That's
and actually, I just had a former student call me tonight and say, hey, I got a math question. Can you help me with it? And this was at about 7:45. She was like, can you just really help me, Ms. Andrews, with this math problem right now? And, you know, if that's the case, I'm at work. You know, and so it's just so much that teachers already do in the behind-the-scenes work of bulletin boards and, you know, just the little things that we do, and we don't get paid for it. But, yeah, you ask more of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, also.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh,
Hold on. Let me throw this question out here. I've been dying to ask this question. With media, local government. How much of this do you really think that they are taking advantage of your love of wanting to be a teacher and nurture and foster the development of kids? How much of that do you think they are just flat out taking advantage of?
Okay, with the media portion or?
With the media portion, the government, you know, local government, that is.
Okay.
With them wanting you to stay longer, you know, have longer school days, and you know all the little innuendos you just mentioned. How much of that do you think they just? I think from what it looks like to me, you know, I've worked for a school district. I was not a teacher, but I have worked for a school district before, and I know a lot of what you say to be true. And it just seems like a lot of this is, you know, propaganda, if you will, for them to make themselves look better about this whole strike situation.
Absolutely. I think even, you know, with the longer school day and just with the media involved, like I used to work at a school that was from 8 to 4. And so the kids went from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., roughly about an 8-hour day.
Okay.
And so teachers started at like 7:30 to 4:15. And so when I think about that, I would say for me in my classroom or just in the school, discipline problems rose about at 2:30. So between 2:30 to 4, you're doing mostly write-ups at that time. And it's because even as people, we get restless after so many hours. And so the longer day was basically in regard to like, oh, low performance on test scores. So because they're low performance on test scores, we're going to make students stay longer hours. But did that really solve the problem, you know, or is that even a problem? And I think we tried to think about a solution a short-term solution to a long-term problem. You know, because I don't think, you know, when you deal with different types of neighborhoods, you do have to, you do incur different situations that you have to address before you even get to teaching algebra. You know, if a kid is dealing with an issue at home, that issue is still on that child's mind.
Yeah.
Or issue in the neighborhood, that issue is still on that child's mind. I know because I was one of those students. You know, so until my teacher say, hey, what's wrong? Let's talk about this first. I wasn't trying to read a book right away. You know, I had some issues that I wanted to talk about, you know, that I was dealing with socially. And so I think sometimes, so I don't think the longer school day was necessarily the right solution to the low test score. I think it's something deeper than that. You know, and that's again, you know, it is propaganda of who makes the most money. You know, I always believe that the person that makes the most money get to publish the most press.
Huh.
As you're saying that, I got a comment from listener Scott Wolf, and I want y'all to check this out because this is pretty cool. Because as she was talking about the compensation, I've heard a lot of stuff in the press and a lot of stuff on Facebook, especially how they were saying, you know, hey, they just glorified babysitters and this, that, and all of that.
Yeah.
So Scott Wolf say teachers' hefty salaries are driving up taxes. And they only work about 9 or 10 hours. They only work about 9 or 10 months a year. It's time we put things in perspective and pay them for what they do. Babysit.
Wow.
We can get that for less than minimum wage. That's right. Let's give them $3 an hour and only the hours that they work, not any of the silly planning time or any of the time they spend before or after school. That would be about $19.50 a day, and we're talking from like 7:45 to 3 o'clock with a 45-minute lunch. That equals to about 6.5 hours. Each parent should pay $19.50 a day for those teachers to babysit their children. Now, how many students do they teach each day? Yeah, about 30. So that's 19.
37.
Okay, well, he says 30. Oh, so we're going to go 1950 times 30. So that's $585 a day. However, let's remember, they only work about 180 days a year. I'm not going to pay them for any vacations. So let's see. That's 585 times 180.
There you go.
That's $105,300 per year. What about?
Well, I love babysitting money then, if that's the case.
Right, exactly. Now, what about those special education teachers and the ones with master degrees? Well, we should pay them minimum wage, $7.75. Let's round it off to $8 an hour. That would be $8 times 6.5 hours times 30 children times 180 days. That would be $280,800 a year. Wait a minute, there's got to be something wrong here. The average teacher's salary nationwide is $50,000. So that's $50,000 divided by 180 days with $277.77 per day times 30 students equals $9.25 for 6.5 hours, which equals around $1.42 an hour. Actually,
wow.
Pretty good damn deal.
Mm. There you go.
So
wow.
Take that life. Now, that goes out to Scott Walker and some of them idiots in Wisconsin who wanted to blame teachers and teachers' unions for overwhelming the taxes and all of that. You're getting a good deal because I think a lot of these teachers would take the babysitting part if they could.
Right. Especially watching 30-some kids a day.
Right.
But
they might be getting a good deal, but the kids aren't.
Well, no, he's just saying that would destroy your tax base.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And to go back into that, I wanted to ask Jenny something real quick. You got a lot of people out here now that are against this teacher strike for a lot of reasons. Some of them because they say the teachers are being selfish And I'm gonna be, in my personal opinions, I think that they're looking at a way of getting rid of their kids, and even how the way that they even said the strike started, they're mad at teachers because they waited to the day of to strike, like that Sunday night, not knowing if they were going to go on strike that Monday morning. What would you have to say to the people who have those type of ideas or have that type of mindset?
One thing I definitely would say, and it's interesting that especially to the people who have never been in education, I first encourage you to go visit a classroom. You can come visit my classroom if you like, you know, but definitely come visit a classroom and see what a teacher does. And when you see what a teacher do all day and you say, wow, I never would have thought. And so sometimes people say things out of ignorance, and it's really because they do not know. And so they allow the media to give them information, and they don't realize who's always controlling the media. And so I definitely encourage them to do their own homework, you know, look at the contract, look at the different articles that we're bargaining right now and asking for, and really make a sound judgment of would you buy this. And so if they really saw the deal that teachers are really just trying to be handed now, they would say, I wouldn't even buy this. I mean, I have kids who, like sixth graders, who can read this and say, this is ridiculous.
Right.
So now you expect an educator to look at this and just jump on it and agree. And I think, you know, everything has to be done in a certain time, in a certain manner. So sometimes we can't always get you an immediate decision. You know, I was listening to Karen Lewis, who did a press conference, and she like, you know, yesterday I ended at 1:30 in the morning, you know, from the negotiation table at 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
And so when you think about that, it's like, well, how fast do you want a decision? Because truly we are negotiating to the very end in order to make a deal happen. And so even that Sunday night, you know, people were still at the negotiation table. And when they realized that they couldn't come to agreement, they had to tell parents, okay, there will be no school tomorrow. You know, so I think it's not a matter of just we're trying to hide things or we're trying to just surprise people. It's a matter of we're really working hard until the very last moment until we say we have to go back home. Because I guarantee you, teachers want to get back into their classroom. Like, there's nothing I love more than educating students. And so it is painful when you have to pick it for what you believe in. And sometimes you don't always see the fruits of your labor immediately. But you just got to know, I'm doing this for a good cause. I'm doing this for an amazing cause. Because right. At the end of the day, it's truly about the students. And so I also think about that our working conditions are your students' learning conditions.
Big,
you should want us to be in the best room possible. You should want us to have the best school possible because your kids have to be educated here.
Right.
You know, and some people say, just get back into the classroom. Are you sure you want us to go back into the classroom? Because
right.
That's really not the class you want us to go back into. I walked past the classroom the other day, and I believe it was 42 students in a classroom with one teacher.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and that was before the strike. And
mm-hmm.
So you think about things like this, and then how many kids are getting individualized learning with 42 kids in a classroom?
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I just tell parents and everyone, just be patient. Like, we are getting the best possible deal for students. You know, and as parents, I know you have to make hard decisions for your students, and that's the same with teachers. We have to make some hard decisions in order to make sure our students have a better future because they are the next generation. And I don't want to teach them crap and then blame them for the economy 10 years later or 20 years later because they didn't have a calculator in my classroom or they didn't have the resources that's available to some students and not others. It is
right.
Not fair. You know, I ran into a parent not too long ago, and she was upset because, you know, she wanted to put her kid in a private school because she felt like the public school just wasn't doing what she thought it should be doing, which it wasn't. But the problem was she couldn't afford it.
Right.
So even though she went to the interview and her daughter got accepted into the school, she looked and saw the tuition bill and couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And so, but it's my thing is that you should have never had to leave a public school just because you wanted your daughter to have more resources.
Right.
The resources should have been provided at that school.
Right.
All right.
But to get into real quick, to get in, you got a couple of comments real quick on for your one person, Miss Tony Bree, love, how you doing, said she wanted to commend you and your work and your efforts to teach our children. Her hat goes off to you. And that means a lot.
She waving now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, people got to realize, you know, when you start hearing in the press and in the media about how everything is the teachers, you need to look back at the three fingers that's pointing back at them. They're dealing with Rahm Emanuel, and he is turning out to be such a bully. When Drea asked that question about the longer school days, I'm a proponent for the longer school days, but the twisted way that he tried to divide and conquer them into taking it was bogus. He told them, no, we don't have any extra money to pay y'all about the longer day. We just want you to do it. But any school that do it, we're going to give the school extra money. We're going to give you this little extra money over here if you go ahead and take it.
Are you kidding?
That's no way to negotiate with something. If you believe in the longer school day and you, it's a good idea, put it on the table and work it out with the teachers union and make that thing happen. You don't have to twist and try to provoke them and split them off and divide them into getting your way.
Right.
The same thing he's doing with this deal. If they just came across a tentative deal Sunday, how did you figure that they was going back to work the next
day?
They're
going
to have to sit there and look at it, and then they got to present it to the union.
Mm-hmm.
They
got
to present it to their members.
Right, but he's not. And correct me if I'm wrong, anybody. I don't think he just is he holding the contract as like bait, or he just like cradling it to see, okay, y'all want it, you have to. I don't know if he's trying to. The longer he holds it, the more he's going to take out of it. I don't. I'm trying to get what do you think his mindset is when it comes to you guys and your contract.
And honestly, I don't know. And because when you think about it, you sound like, really? And the first thing pops up is idiot. Then I say, okay, well, maybe he's not an idiot. Maybe he's just ignorant to the fact, and that he doesn't know. But you have to think, it have to be something truly wrong with a person in order to think that this is just going to happen. And teachers are just going to say, all right, we assign it. We haven't seen it, but we assign it.
Right.
And so it's like, why are you hiding it? You know, if you wanted teachers to make a deal by Sunday, the contract should have been completed by Sunday. It really should have been completed probably Saturday morning. You know,
right.
So you can't just give teachers a framework, which really mean like bulletin points or an outline of something, without giving them a complete contract. So you think about these things and I'm shocked. You're like, wow, are you the mayor? You know,
right.
It's unfortunate. But then I also thought about everything that been accomplished in our society have come through fighting, you know, because this is no big deal considering there was a time when blacks were treated as unequal, you know. So at the end of the day, I expected something like this to happen. You know, if we can sit for 400 years in slavery because of the color of our skin, I expect something like this to happen then, you know. And so this is our moment to say, we the people, that's what it says, we the people, not that we Rahm Emanuel, we the mayor. No, we the people. And so that's why I love the Chicago Teacher Union for standing up and saying, we're not taking this deal. And I truly don't believe, you know, anyone expected a strike to happen. Think about it. It hasn't happened in 25 years.
That's
yeah.
right.
You know, so I don't think anyone expected people to still come together. And so I'm so glad, and I hope that this, you know, inspire other people to come together. And while we were out rallying, there were so many, you know, kids out there. And I was like, this is history right now. And so I'm hoping that they learn from this, that mm-hmm. you don't have to take anything just because the government said it.
That's right.
Or just because the mayor said it. You don't have to take that, you know. And so that's when I get on fire, when I see the kids out there rallying and saying, you know, I support my teacher. We don't get that often. You know, we don't get the community and the rallying around you. I remember on this past Saturday after the rally, you know, I was walking around with my Chicago Teacher Union shirt on, and I went out to eat, and you know, people started asking me questions, you know, like, this must be what celebrities feel like, you know. And we don't get that, and we should get that on a daily basis dealing with 30 kids and one teacher. I was like, I haven't met the doctor yet who sees 30 patients at one time and have to give a diagnosis. You know, but that's what we're doing. Lawyers take one case at a time. You know, doctors see one patient at a time. But yet we expect teachers to educate 30 different minds at one time.
I think they take your profession lightly. I think a lot of people take your profession and what you do very, very lightly.
818-514-1202. Sorry, Devon, just want to get that out there.
Yeah, that's no problem. Like I was saying, I think they take your profession and what you guys do very lightly. I could never teach. It's not that I don't want to. I wouldn't. I don't have the patience, and I don't have the I have the charisma, but not the patience.
Yeah, you know, when she said earlier how some people need to come visit a classroom, you know, I don't understand that, because at one point we all visited the classroom. Mm-hmm. We all went through the same school system.
Yeah.
And I had teachers who were very dedicated, who were tired, and you know, we don't give them the gratitude that they're due. I mean, teachers have been buying stuff for their students for years, because, you know, you can only buy so many crayons and all of that before they lose them all. Right. And a lot of the papers, the construction paper,
everything,
and the glue, they're usually footing the bill on all of that. But we got a call. Hold on. We're going to go ahead and get to them. Hey, Tony, you on with the truth, bro?
I don't know.
Hey there. I just want to say that I love your guest. I love her. She talks with so much passion, and I commend you for doing the job that you do. And I want you to continue to fight, because without it, these children are going to fail, and the society is going to fail.
Wow.
So I commend you. I really do. And I'm going to go back and listen to the show, because I just got in not long ago.
Rally, right?
It's on.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. And I truly appreciate that. So thank you so much for saying those kind words. We definitely don't get that often, so...
I'm
just humbled the fact that, you know, someone is calling in to say thank you.
Right. And they're not from here. That's what's the person who just called here isn't from Illinois.
Cali.
They're from California.
Yeah.
So you guys are reaching nationally. So
worldwide.
A lot of people are really here and they're with you. So, you know, one thing I wanted to get you to say before we actually lose sound with you is that a lot of times I know a lot of people are saying, man, the teachers are saying they're doing this for the kids. They're doing this for the kids. They're striking for the kids. Explain to them how you're striking for the kids, because they don't see what you're actually fighting for the kids. They just see you're sitting outside of a school. Explain to these people how you're fighting for the kids.
We're definitely fighting for the kids, because I believe that everything in our tentative agreement, and you can definitely check it out on the CTU website, everything in that agreement either directly or indirectly relates to a kid. So, like, for example, you know, one thing is that we wanted to increase the teaching supply reimbursement to at least $250. Now, for me personally, I want to say last year I spent about $800 in just items for the kids, whether it was trying to provide snacks, because I know sometimes kids don't have snacks. I try to have snacks in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And so if it's, you know, Expo markers, crayons, paper. And so we're asking for just $250 of reimbursement when a teacher spends that in probably the first week of teaching. You know, and so everything, or the fact that we're asking for more counselors in the school, we're asking for more clinicians in the school. Mm-hmm. All of these things we're asking for will impact a student. You know, the fact that we want books on the first day and not the first week or the third week of school. You know, no child should have to sit there with no books. And so sometimes it's because maybe a school budget. that they can't always order new books, but then you have a kid who has no book, but yet they're still expected to perform.
Yeah,
it never changes. You know what? Real quick, when I was a kid, when I was in eighth grade, man, I went to Chicago Public Schools too. I went to what was considered one of the worst schools in the city at the time. It was called Brennan Elementary. It's now known as Alex Haley School, which it's probably better than it was when I went there. Because when I went there, man, in eighth grade, man, I was reading out of a science book that was talking about the brand new invention of television.
There you go.
I'm serious.
I believe you. That's
this
what I'm
saying. This brand new.
I believe you. Yeah. You know, I will say this, like, for example, in one of our articles, 6-7, it says, and I'm looking right at the tentative agreement, it says, whenever possible, mathematic classes should be assigned to rooms with adequate chalkboard or dry erase board and maps, charts, and graphs. And it's like, why should we have to be fighting for that? Why should that even be in part of our contract?
Mm.
You know, so stuff like that, that does impact a classroom. When I'm trying to teach something, I have no teaching tools to teach you with.
Right.
You know, or the fact that no more than 40 students should be tested in a classroom.
Wow.
You know, but this is stuff that we're arguing for, and people don't realize. They think, oh, they just want more money. Truly, they couldn't pay a teacher what a teacher was really worth.
That's,
you know, right. And I think about my teachers, you know. My teachers have truly made me who I am. And I've been in Chicago Public Schools my entire life, and because teachers poured into me, it's only that's the reason who I am today, you know.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I just want to give that back and pour into other students. So we are definitely doing this for the kids. We're not saying, hey, every single teacher should be given a BMW on the first day of school. And, you know, so things like that is not in our contract. We're not saying that we want $1 million or we want some endorsement.
You just want to supply.
And so I think sometimes we're looking at the wrong contracts.
Yeah.
You know, and we're arguing over those instead of looking at some other contracts that's out there.
Yeah. I mean, and so for those who have that type of idea, because I know a lot of them are listening, she just explained to you how the teachers are fighting for the kids. So
right.
If that doesn't sum it up for you, I don't know what else a person can say to tell you of how it's not just about money, or it's not really about money.
There
it's necessities. These are things that you should be given in order to inform your children. But
there you go. You have been a fantastic guest, Jenny. You
are.
Everybody here is just stunned and very impressed. And real quick, with about 2 minutes left, and real quick, I want everybody to go around the room and everybody give it up to a teacher that had a real big influence in your life. Just one. We'll go with you first. I know who you're going to go with.
I got two, man. Of course, I got Red Summer, man. She really guided Miss Muhammad. She really guided my mindset. And she took me out of anybody who knew me back in my day, Jenny, would know that I'm not I used to be, I got to give a big applause to that, and I got to give it up to a male math teacher that I had named Mr. Ellis, who actually, man, he took me and showed me manhood.
I would have to say it would have to be my English teacher in high school, Ms. Dolores Walker. Just beautiful soul, beautiful person, that mother figure that you kind of miss nowadays
right.
In schools. So had a very big impact in my life, very encouraging, and just no substitute for it.
Yeah, I want to give it up to Myrna Hill. I had her in high school, and she was my distributive education teacher, man. Advertising and all the screwed up commercials you hear on Truth Brothers Radio,
right.
I can draw a line back to her. She's the reason.
Right.
For all of that.
All right, Jenny, I'm going to have to come down there, man, and strike with y'all. Hopefully I won't get a chance to. Y'all will be back.
Well, I hope we're definitely back in the classroom soon. You know, I miss my babies right now.
Right.
And so thank you so much for just having me on your show. I truly appreciate it. And just support a teacher.
Thank you.
All right. And this has been a very incredible show. Thanks for everybody. We got a full board. Thanks to everybody who tuned in. Everybody called in, Blair, Justice, Tony, everybody. I want to say thank y'all, and let you know that this is the D Network presentation. station and do not listen to Two Fuck. Peace.
Two Fuck.